from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, what's your Saquon stats? What do you got there?
So Saquon in training camp this year had 74 total touches. That's more than anybody else. AJ was second on the team with 68. He carried the ball 47 times. All with the first team. He's the only running back that only worked with the first team. And 31 targets as well. So he was a big part of the passing game, but then also they gave it to him a ton on the ground.
All right, so the Eagles obviously with a trade yesterday. Dotson acquired from Washington, first-round pick from just a couple of years ago, entering year three. Is it an upgrade? Yeah, sure. Absolutely it's an upgrade because I don't think the Eagles really had a third wide receiver, frankly. In all due respect to everyone who was trying, I mean, look, the Paris Campbell thing, we'll say, but, you know, wasn't a good training camp for him. Let's put it that way. The guy got hurt, and I don't think he's that good anyway. Eagles go third wide receiver now with Dotson. Now, that's going to be affecting someone who doesn't make the team who otherwise would have. Let's listen to Dan Orlovsky, because he really frames this as a very big upgrade for the Eagles and something that will make the Eagles, who otherwise should have been explosive, even more so. Here's Orlovsky yesterday on ESPN.
Man, that receiver room in Philly. So where do you see Kellen Moore, this new OC, that offense? Where do you see Dotson fitting in?
Well, I think this is now giving Philadelphia the best wide receiver trio in football. I mean, the Eagles have the best wide receiver trio with A.J. Brown, Devontae, and Jahan Dotson. This was a really good offense to begin with. If Dotson just replicates what he did, which is 50 or so catches and 500 yards at that number three wide receiver spot, I don't know of anybody in the NFC that can line up and play man-to-man coverage against those four pass catchers.
All right, that sounds great, obviously. Dot, 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 but let's present Brian Mitchell. Great Washington player, great Eagles player. Love B. Mitch. And when B. Mitch talks, I listen because I think he spits truth and a lot of wisdom from a lot of experience. Brian Mitchell yesterday was on with Spike and Ike and Jack. And he's not saying Dotson can't play. He's saying buyer beware of what you might be getting with the guy. Listen to the way Brian Mitchell framed this. This has to be a concern.
What are we getting, B. Mitch, and Jahan Dotson?
Well, you know, he's a young man who showed in his rookie season that he can actually play some football. But last year he didn't have a good year. And then this year I think he lost some of his confidence. You know, he said it to several reporters that, you know, I got to get my confidence back. And you know me, I'm a person who I believe in hard-nosed football players. I believe in competitive people. You can't be mentally weak. And in this camp, I didn't see him competing like I should see him competing. I saw him moping a little bit. I made a comment a couple, like last week or so, and I said, you got people out there acting like they're supposed to be given a job. And, you know, that their body language was off. He was one of the guys I was discussing. You know what I'm talking about? And then when they made this move today, I guess Dan Quinn came in and he said, we're going to compete, okay? And there are people that are moping around and there are people that are competing. If you're not going to compete, I don't think you're going to fit in Dan Quinn's system. And now he's in Philadelphia. I know one thing, he better get his mental toughness already, because if he's not mentally tough up there, if he's not playing well, they're going to let him know about it.
All right, so I'm psyched he's here in that. I think it's an upgrade. Let's give it a shot. Try to roll. But I will say this. I remember a couple of years ago talking to a former GM in baseball. And he told me that when he would evaluate a player, and of course I was thinking in terms of like a guy like Julio Okafor with this, who fell so short in so many ways, despite tremendous natural talent. And of course the game had kind of passed Okafor by in a certain way. I mean, if Okafor played in the 80s, he probably would have been better, you know, this decade. But let's be real. There were things missing with Okafor. And I remember this former baseball GM telling me one time he would always evaluate players through the prism of three factors. One, talent. Natural physical ability, just talent, which obviously Dotson has. Wouldn't be a first-round pick if he didn't have it. Two, coachability. This is an area I'd say Carson really lacked. You know, like, it's great to have talent, but you better listen to the coaches when they instruct you and give you specific things to work on. And three, competitiveness. You better be a self-starter. I mean, yeah, every once in a while you can pick it up because someone kicks your butt and, you know, it's time to, you know, a coach dug in on you and that gets your ire up and you want to prove them wrong. And okay. But, I mean, the biggest thing for success as it relates to competitiveness is it better be in you. It better be in you. So when I hear Brian Mitchell say what he said yesterday, look, I haven't followed Dotson's career closely. I mean, none of us around here have. Obviously, Howie Roseman has. He chose to trade for him. I'm just saying something can be exciting, but at the same time, caution flag for we'll see.
Yeah, I just don't see it that way at all.
I mean, did you hear what Brian Mitchell said?
I don't trust Washington. I think the evaluator has to be taken into consideration here, right? I mean, the guy has 11 touchdowns in 2 years with probably if not the worst quarterback play over the past year, certainly it's in that
But
top
he also
five.
Played a lot, Elliot. I mean, there are guys like Michael Carter-Williams who get all sorts of stats because you're handed the job.
The difference is Michael Carter-Williams, to use that comparison, is controlling the ball. Jahan Dotson is reliant on someone throwing
well, let's
the
not
ball.
Well, he wasn't their number one receiver either.
But
Nate
again,
McCorn.
This thing,
I know.
Like, I just think it reflects poorly on Washington. If you're going to trade him because you feel he wasn't having a super competitive first 3 weeks at camp, he was a first-round pick 2 years ago. He's had a successful first 2 years of his career, and now all of a sudden, Dan Quinn, he doesn't fit in that
hold
system.
On, successful?
I don't care.
You would call last year for him successful?
I'm saying over
Do you remember what he did when he played
hold on.
Eagles?
I also remember Washington, that freaking Hal guy, it was the only game the guy was good in those two games.
So in 2 years, he has 11 touchdowns, which I think for Washington is a good output. He had 500 yards his rookie year. Again, you can't overlook the fact that I think the receiver specifically is the position that is most reliant on where he plays. The quarterback, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, the franchise, none of those are a winning formula in Washington.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And then we'll get right to the calls. Why did Washington dump him?
Because I think Washington is a poorly run team.
Okay.
Maybe. And apparently they're trying to trade for Brandon.
They can be a poorly run team, but he might have his flaws that you're...
He might have his flaws.
Glossing over, I'll
no,
say.
No player is perfect, but I just think people are way
well,
too
the,
down
the,
on
the, Well, the hammer's perfect.
Well,
the
yeah,
hammer.
True. Right. I mean, 5-5 speaks for itself.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Philly's also, from last night, of course, with the loss, dropped 2-3 in Atlanta, 30 and 34 now in their last 64. It's not been good, that's for damn sure. Let's talk to Jerry. Jerry, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, team?
Hey, buddy.
Man, I don't know, man. What, Rob, I don't. He kind of screwed this thing up, you know what I mean? Like, a couple weeks back, you know? And it's been on a spiral since.
Well, I certainly blame the players more than him, and I'm not saying I'm in a good Rob Thompson mood right now, but, I mean, the players got to hit, Jerry. You got to hit the ball. I mean, these you got multiple guys being paid $100 million or more, and they're not hitting the ball.
Yeah. And, you know, that pitcher last night, man, it was like every two strikes he was throwing, you know, the sinker or he was throwing the slider low, you know. Why didn't they see that, you know? If I've seen it, they should be able to see it.
Yeah, they struggle with that. I mean, they just do. It's not good. It's not good, Jerry.
Well, I don't think they struggle with it, but a better way might just be to say they can't do it. Like, this isn't a cold streak for them. They have struggled with this now for years.
Yeah, this is who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they do have a propensity to chase. They do. Jerry, give me a great answer here for who had a moment.
Gladiator series.
Gladiator series, you said?
Yeah, the Gladiators. You know, that show with the sports guys that...
That's a good one.
All right. Gladiator. I mean, it can't be that big of a moment.
What was it? It was a show.
Like, I think he's talking about, like, the Ultimate Warriors.
Ninja Warriors?
No. Prior. This is, like, from the
80s.
80s or
whatever. That was,
it's called American Gladiators.
Yeah. Well, it did, but he loses because it was he didn't frame it the right way. You can't say Gladiator show.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, I mean, yeah, come on. But anyway, it did. I'll give you that. All right, let's go to Keith in Northeast Philly. What's going on, Keith?
Yo, morning, guys.
What's up, Keith?
Morning,
Joey, we would have tied 5-5 on Beat the Hammer.
You would have lost in overtime.
No, no, I'm one of the last guys to beat you. I beat you twice already. Come on.
Oh,
yeah, Keith's good.
Well, Keith, maybe you should have called in then.
Keith, last time challenged you, you accepted the challenge, and then he whooped you 4-2.
Everybody relax.
Like you,
you complained about the questions, but Keith got a 4-spot on it.
So. I probably had a righteous complaint. If I complained, I had a righteous complaint.
A righteous complaint.
Yeah, I'll be generous. Yo. I'm feeling generous today. If you want to run it back, you can.
You want to run what back? My 5-for-5?
No.
You want us to re-air that next segment?
No, he's saying he'll play you again.
Oh, you'll play me again. Well, get in line, man. Knock it off.
Well, accept the challenge.
You're scared, is the point.
Yeah,
I got it.
It's not,
cool.
It's not about scared. It's about equal opportunity here.
The last 10 guys, they get, like, no more than one. Either 0 or 1.
They've been in a funk. They're like the Phillies bats.
It's been bad. It's been our worst stretch, I think, ever. Of consistent contestants.
Yeah, people that don't know their stuff got to stop.
But it didn't matter who Joe would have played today.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it could have gone to overtime.
Joe was in the zone.
Yeah, I was totally locked in.
Oh, poor brother.
Yeah, you missed Bobby Hoying and Ty Detmer. He played with a 98.
Yeah, it was smart of you to say Detmer. I noticed that. I was all over that. It was coy, for those wondering. It was coy Detmer, but nice work.
Yeah, there you go. Like Crawford that time.
All right, Keith, what do you got on the birds, man?
Yeah, I like the Dotson trade, man. It's you know, like you said, like hearing Brian Mitchell, like hopefully, you know, change of scenery. He did have more drops last year. He had a great rookie year though. I remember him at Penn State, like good guy to go across the middle for you. He's gonna see a ton of single coverage, obviously.
For sure.
Yeah. So yeah, it is. Once I heard the breaking news yesterday, I'm like, oh, it's got to be a third receiver. Like, yeah, we're like, oh, Eagles made a trade. I'm like, that's got to be somebody.
Well, I wonder who's going to get cut, because someone's going to get cut that otherwise would not have. Now, it doesn't have to be a receiver, but I would bet you it will be.
So I think it could be John Ross. I don't know if he was on the bubble, but I think this pretty much cements
John Ross. Could it be Paris Campbell?
Yeah, Ross is gone for sure.
I don't think they'll cut Paris Campbell.
No, I think John Ross for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't look too good in preseason.
All right, Keith, give me a great answer here for what had a moment.
What about yo-yos?
Ooh.
Yeah,
yo-yos had
us. They definitely had a moment.
It's like seventies.
Yeah, I just want to be sure. So that goes in the category of lingers, but it's not as big as it used to be. Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had like a year or two where everyone in school was doing like tricks and
biggest in when? In '70s?
So for me it was like 7th grade.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it was
I would say probably
that.
'70s, mm-hmm. I would think.
Probably like when the word groovy had a moment.
Sure.
Well,
right? I mean, nobody would say, you know, groovy now in the 70s.
Yeah, that's
that was
true.
I don't know if a word can have a moment.
Why not?
Yeah,
words have moments all the time.
It's still around.
Remember YOLO? That was a moment.
Yeah, you're
right.
Fair.
And Frye's having a moment.
That's more an
these
expression.
I'm not a big TikTok guy, but it seems demure is having a moment now.
Yes, that is.
I know I'm too old because I cannot figure out what that means. I tried.
And you got Sunday Fun Day. You got that one?
Yeah, but these are expressions, to be clear, not words.
Well, yeah, okay. 215-592-9494. Coming up, more from Jalen Hurts and Darius Slay on the last couple weeks. Also, Rob Thompson, his thoughts on the Braves after they just took 2 or 3 from the Phils. We'll talk to Shield Kapadia next as well on the Birds. A lot going on, and I thought a really fascinating comment this week from Nick Sirianni inside his mindset. All of that and more of your phone calls. Joe DeCamp. So we're getting closer to that Eagles regular season. 14 days away, 2 weeks to the Eagles in Brazil. Not as Tupac was in California, but in fact in Brazil, South America, 14 days from now. 215-592-9494 to join the conversation. Really two different things going on here today. One on the Eagles front, the Dotson trade. Primary topic, obviously, as they acquired a player that, you know, be a starter for them, third wide receiver. And look, it's probably one of the least important spots on a starting unit in pro football, but it's not unimportant. All right? I mean, let's remember this, guys. For everything that went wrong in that Super Bowl 2 years ago when the Eagles lost, and there were, like, many things that went wrong, the field, the flag, the fumble, the false start, all that stuff. If Quez Watkins just catches that pass, I would say there is a very high probability the Eagles win the game. So third wide receiver matters. Quez let him down. Eagles trying to obviously generate some life into that spot and help the other guys out.
Yeah, so Dan Orlowski said something there. I thought, you know, his point was correct. And now that they have Dotson, they certainly have one of the best wide receiver trios in the NFL. But when he said, you know, 500 yards, it's not about numbers for me with Dotson. It's about moments, to your point. Like making the catches that are there when they need him. I don't care how many yards he ends up with. There will be I don't know, 8 to 10 big targets he gets this year, and he just has to be considerably better than a replacement-level player would be now that they traded a third.
You know, I look at a guy like Aguilar, who obviously was down and then up and then down in his tenure with the Eagles, and when he was up, I mean, in Super Bowl 52, he caught 9 passes, yeah. and like 5 or 6 of them were for first downs, and yeah. a bunch of them were on third down. I mean, so it does matter. All right, so you can weigh in on the Eagles with that trade also the coming season. And then, of course, the Phils, having dropped 2 of 3, including one last night in Atlanta. Very disappointing, you know, series and stretch, to say the least. And the stretch is now about 2.5 months. All right, we'll talk to Shiel Kapati coming up in about 3 minutes, 8:25 for Shiel today. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494, Drew in Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, folks. Elliot, glad you're feeling better and back in action.
Love good to hear from you, man.
Love to see you. Joe, good pull with Corey Simon. That was the one I missed today. That was impressive.
Thanks, buddy.
So I don't want to – I called to talk Phillies. I don't want to spend my whole time debating James Bradbury's Eagles legacy, but you were talking about NFC East players earlier, former NFC East players typically not working out for the Eagles. I would argue that he was a plus just based on 2022.
He
intercepted his former team in the Super Bowl. And,
yeah, that's a good
one. The playoff that helped us reach the
Super
Bowl.
He was phenomenal in 2022.
Advocate for him
there. I don't think of him as a Giant because he was only there 1 year, but you're right. He was.
Drew, I do think of him as a Giant because I don't watch Houston Texan games.
Well, did he play there?
Isn't that where he played?
No, he was on the Panthers.
Oh, I don't watch their games either. Yeah, I don't watch their games either.
Yeah.
Unless the Eagles are playing in them.
They've been pretty irrelevant. So that's
I would say so.
Phillies last night. I thought to Elliot's point about kind of like the magic feeling like it's gone. You know, usually like close, like a late, you know, like a late inning game. Like I'm up, like on top in front of my TV, like super focused. Like I was just kind of sprawled out on my couch last night because I had like very little confidence that they were coming back. There was a really interesting moment to me when the Phillies were rallying. In the seventh inning, I thought the Braves were going to go to a lefty to face Brandon Marsh, and they went to a righty, which basically tells me, like, we don't even respect that you could, like, get a hit off a righty.
That's interesting.
Right now. And I don't know, it feels to me like I think what you need to avoid in the playoffs is you need to avoid automatic outs in your lineup. You need to avoid pitchers having an easy lane or an inning off, and it just feels like we have way too many automatic outs in the bottom part of that lineup.
Well, there's no doubt. But I'll say this. While that's true, Drew, the biggest problem is the top of the lineup's not hitting. So you're right, but the other side of it is also out of whack. I mean, the top's the guys getting paid. They got to hit. All right, Drew, we're going to get to Shiel Kapati here. Give me a great answer for what had a moment.
You got it. I think you all probably owned one of these at one point. I'm going with Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies
did. Great answer.
Yep, yeah. They sure did. That's exactly right. All right, let's get here to something with Jalen Hurts because, you know, he's obviously likely to not play in the preseason. I mean, one more game. For those that don't know, by the way, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now that don't know. The Eagles play tomorrow at 1 p.m.?
Yep.
Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock football game. And I got to tell you, I would think this will be one of the lowest rated Eagles preseason games. Honestly, if I had to guess, like ever. I mean, think about it this way. Number one, everybody knows starters aren't going to play. I mean, other than maybe a couple young guys on defense, Hurts isn't going to play. And it's Saturday at 1. Let's say with 2 weeks to go in the beach season, you otherwise would normally plan to be Saturday at 1 on one of the 10 beaches down the shore. I don't know how many towns we got down here, but we got a bunch. So beach or watch backups.
Great chance to put it on the Odyssey app on the beach.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Nice plug.
Thank you.
That is very true, actually. All right. So let's listen to Jalen Hurts because he was asked earlier this week about the likelihood that he won't play, that certainly possibility, that the whole preseason goes by without him playing. Here's Jalen's answer.
If it ends up that you don't play this preseason, are you okay with that for the second straight year?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, obviously, whatever, Mr. Lurie, Howie, and Nick have in store for us. And I really just trust in our preparation and all that. I think, more importantly, not just speaking to your question, but I think just the mindset of where we are is we're trying to preach just, really trusting the process and building upon a good foundation. You know, these are things that I've always talked about, that I've always believed in, and I think to be the type of team you want to be, you want to be built up on a strong foundation. And as you weather a season, as you go through a season, be able to lean on the foundation, be able to lean on the things that you've done.
So, look, we all get what he said there, and he's fine not playing. I'm not ripping him here. Just strange that Lurie was the first name out of his mouth.
I had the same thought.
I mean, it's strange.
I didn't think about that. Well, yeah.
Like you're probably not going to play. What do you make of it? Yeah, well, if Jeff, Mr. Lurie, Howie, and Nick say so.
I think
just
he was,
that's strange.
I think he's just saying the
powers that be.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah.
But you know what? I mean,
I agree.
I mean, Jeff Lurie got named, and whether Jalen Hurts plays or not, it's a little strange.
I think Lurie might be involved.
So let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Track in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you think it's a mistake that the Eagles likely will not play Jalen Hurts at all this preseason? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's talk to our next guest. He does a sensational job covering not only the Eagles, but the entire National Football League for The Ringer, our guy, Shiel Kapadia. Good morning, Shiel.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Shiel, what's your answer to that Twitter poll? Does it matter that Hurts doesn't play at all?
I don't get too bent out of shape with that. You know, I think you're seeing this trend through not all teams, but a lot of teams in the NFL. So if they feel like he's ready to go based on practice and the joint practice, I'm all right with not playing him. Now, I could make the case that this is a year where you at least get him out there and hand the football off, because there's a lot on his plate in terms of what he's being asked to do with the different shifts, the different motions, the protection. So if you wanted him to just get his feet wet and get out there, I could see that too, but I don't think it's a massive deal either way.
I agree with you 100%. I actually have no problem with it. I mean, it makes it boring. I have a problem with it from a entertainment standpoint, and it makes me question whether these games should even occur. But from a preparation standpoint for the season, I'm past the point of thinking it matters. All right, Shiel, let's get to the most recent thing here, which obviously is yesterday, the Dotson trade acquisition. Two-part question. Number one, from your perspective, how weak were the Eagles at third wide receiver prior to the trade? And number two, what is Dotson now entering year three, coming from Washington, former first-round pick? What does he bring to the table?
Yeah, I like the move. You know, they were in really, really bad shape at that wide receiver three spot, and we can argue about, is that important? Is it not important? If you look at it last year, guys not named A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, they were on the field for over 1,000 snaps, about 4 targets per game. So even if that's your fourth or fifth pass-catching option, it's still somebody that is going to get the football thrown their way and is going to be on the field. And that doesn't even take into account the fact that if A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith goes down, you had nobody on the roster that you could really rely on. So I think it was a big need. Now, what does he have? You know, I was watching him yesterday and kind of digging through it a little bit. He's been productive, not super productive, about 500 yards each of his first two seasons. He can line up outside. He can line up in the slot. He has a good feel. You know, he can get open. He knows how to separate. This isn't someone who, with the ball in his hands, is going to make people miss or break tackles, hasn't been really an explosive threat. But if you're telling me somebody, hey, be where you're supposed to be, get open, be friendly to the quarterback, I think he makes sense in that respect.
Yeah, so I think he actually has one broken tackle in 2 years.
Holy
which
mackerel.
Is kind
wow,
of surprising.
I didn't see that stat. Yeah, yeah, that matches the film, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, for someone you would think would be good on wide receiver screens and that, yeah, not good. But I'm curious from your perspective, I think the trade makes a ton of sense. I was a little surprised that it was a third-round pick. Just wondering what you think of what they gave up for him. Do you think it was good value, or do you think they maybe overpaid a little bit?
Yeah, what's interesting, and they get a fifth back, so if you plug it into all kind of the trade charts that are out there, it comes out to the equivalent of giving up a fourth or a fifth round pick, you know, because you're getting the fifth back. So you could look at that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And say, man, the Commanders didn't even want this guy, and you're giving something up. And I get that. And it very well could look like, you know, 2 years from now, this guy doesn't have it. And why'd they give that up? My thing is, if you're in a window where you really believe you can win a Super Bowl and you're realistic about it, then I don't care that much about a fourth or a fifth round pick. I need to fill a spot on my roster now. If I were a GM, I would be like, I don't want to have a regret in week six when Devontae Smith has a hamstring injury and now I was afraid to give up a fourth round pick and now we're stuck with somebody who I don't have confidence in out there on the field. So, if you look at the wide receiver market in the NFL, it's crazy what wide receivers go for. And the other thing, the reason I like this trade is he still has 2 years left on his rookie contract where he's getting paid, I think, $1.5 million this year and $2.8 million next year. So that's way cheaper than some of these guys who are at a similar skill level are getting paid on the open market. So I'm sure that's something they looked at as well.
So, Shiel, now that Howie's made one trade, and obviously there's only so many of these you can do because you don't want to give up too many draft picks moving forward, but is there a position you think he could still do another move on? Is it right guard? Is it something else? I mean, do you think he's got one more up his sleeve?
I would be surprised if they did something at right guard. Now, I guess never say never, but I sort of feel like they're going to stick with the guys they have there. I would say depth would be the thing I'm looking at. So not as flashy of a move as Jahan Dotson, but I don't know. Is there a tight end too out there, or, you know, depth at tight end, or even more depth at wide receiver? You know, they're still thin there, so it might not be you're giving up a fourth round pick, but is there like a late pick swap or something where you say, hey, we like this guy a little bit more than the guys that we have? I mean, those are some of the positions I would look at. Linebacker, I guess you can never rule out. It's hard to find those guys, but if you had a younger player that you sort of liked and said, hey, let's just throw another dart at this thing, I guess that would be another one I would look at as well.
Shiel Kapadia with us here, of course, does wonderful work for The Ringer all football season, off season as well. We're getting cranked up 14 days to the start of this one. All right, Shiel, let's talk about Hurts. So obviously a phenomenal camp. I think Eagles fans are getting increasingly excited and should be. And maybe it was, I don't want to say as simple as, but largely as simple as Sirianni was just doing dumb things last year and should have reinvented the offense earlier, and they didn't. Do you think that's mostly what it was? I mean, if he soars with Kellen Moore, does that make Sirianni from last year look even worse?
I think it does. You know, you look at what they did last year, and they always say, a wise man avoids all extremes. That's Sirianni's thing. And then you look at the numbers and say they used motion less than any team in the NFL. They threw to the middle of the field less than any team in the NFL. They were one of the worst teams against the blitz. They went under center less than any team in the NFL. I'm not telling you any of those things are like magic potions that's going to make the offense better, but you need to have different answers to different problems that defenses are presenting. And they didn't have that last year. So whether it was Nick Sirianni, Brian Johnson, a combination of the two. I think at the end of this season, we're going to know exactly who Jalen Hurts is, because you look at Kellen Moore, he's coordinated top five offenses before with Dak Prescott and less talented rosters than the Eagles have right now. So that should be the expectation for this Eagles offense, that they perform at a top five level, that Jalen Hurts is considered one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. They win double-digit games, and they're a Super Bowl contender. If that doesn't happen, you know, if we're seeing the same issues with the offense, if Jalen Hurts is struggling against the blitz, if there are guys wide open in the middle of the field and he's not throwing them the football, well, guess what? Then we're going to be able to say it wasn't on the coaching. It's not the coaching. It's on the quarterback. So this is such a huge year, not just in terms of the expectations and what's at stake for Nick Sirianni. It's a huge year in terms of what do you have at quarterback for the next 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 years?
Yeah.
Is he the guy you thought he was, or do you have more concerns about it?
You know, it's interesting you bring up expectations, because I agree with you. I mean, locally, certainly, the expectation is Super Bowl contender. I mean, they have an over-under of 10.5. I think most power rankings have them in a top 10-ish, but they have two new coordinators. They have a coach that's on the hot seat. They have a quarterback, you just said, we're not sure really where he ranks. A lot of new players on defense. Do you think expectations are too high for this team? Like, what do you feel is a fair expectation for what a successful season would be?
No, I don't think they're too high. I mean, when you look at the roster, this is one of the reasons I think Jeffrey Lurie was probably so angry about what happened last year, is because he probably looked at the roster specifically on the offensive side of the ball and says, I've been an owner here for, what, 25 years or whatever it is, and I don't know that we've ever had a talent like we've had right now on offense, and this is the product I'm watching against the Tampa Bay Bucks in the playoffs. So, I mean, you look at the talent. I don't know about you guys. I think in my lifetime, have they had better skill position talent on offense?
Well, look, I don't think they ever have. And I'll tell you, I'll go as far as Shields to tell you, I think it's one of the most in NFL history.
Yeah, the issue
I really mean that.
The issue is the offensive line might be a problem.
Well, yeah, but I
agree with you from a skill position perspective. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the offensive line, and I'm with you, we cannot discount Jason Kelce not being there and the issue at right guard. I still think if you look at it, they're going to be an above average offensive line, or they should be. Not great. They might not be elite. You might slip from top three to top 10 or whatever it is. But man, there are you look at offensive coaches around the NFL. And if you have a conversation with them and say, hey, you know, would you like to have this group, and you just show them the Eagles depth chart? I mean, come on. How many, other than maybe two, even if that many, they would say, yeah, we would love to be able to work with that group. So, no, I think expectations should be 11, 12 wins. And then, you know, playoffs are tricky. It depends who's healthy, who's not. But certainly, you know, I would think you need to get past the first round. Once you're in the divisional round, again, there's some randomness, there's some luck, the matchups, all those things, but that should be the expectation.
All right, Elliot, let's talk about the defense here. So,
guessing you mean Shiel?
Oh, I'm sorry, Shiel. Yeah. Yes, my fault. Shiel.
I mean, I am the expert on the call,
Let's
Elliot's got right. better hair than me, also. So I don't mind. Yeah.
All right, Shiel, let's talk about the defense. So, of the things that matter on the football team a lot, and this is where I'm discounting something like the third receiver. Not saying it doesn't matter, but doesn't matter a lot. Like for the things that are the big issues on a football team. Do you think, Shiel, the pass rush is the biggest concern for things that are really important for a pro football team?
I think it's up there. Now, you have teams that build their rosters different ways now. Now, most of them, I think still pass rush is going to be the first thing on defense, especially. There are teams that say, hey, if we can cover, then we can manufacture a pass rush. You know, you look at what Baltimore did last season. They had the best defense in the NFL. And you look at their roster, they didn't have the best group of pass rushers. So some of that is schematically. Can you figure out ways to break down the offensive line's protection and get a free rusher? And that's where you need to count on Vic Fangio. If these guys aren't just winning their one-on-one matchups, and I think Jalen Carter's going to do that, everyone else, I'm kind of like, let's see. You know, let's see what it looks like on third down, because they were not getting near the quarterback on third down in the second half of the season last year. So if that's not happening, now you have to have creative ways schematically to help your guy.
So, Shiel, let's talk about Fangio. Is he legit? And here's what I mean by that. He obviously came up with something that got replicated, and he's had a fantastic career. I'm not trying to denigrate him. Is he, as others now have learned what he taught, is he still, you know, near the top of his profession on his side of the ball?
I think it's a fair question and probably one that people aren't asking enough. You know, you look at that Dolphins defense last year. They were coming on strong and they got some injuries, but they finished in the stats I look at, you know, around 19th in defense last year. If you look at Vic Fangio's defenses, his last three stops, 8 years, he's had a top 10 defense once in those 8 years. So, to me, that's not all on Fangio, but it's also a reminder that if the talent's not good, if the linebackers aren't good enough, if they can't cover, if they don't know what to do, if they're biting on play action, there's only so much a defensive coordinator can do. And so I think that really matters a lot on defense. And so I think he raises your floor quite a bit. I don't think you're going to have a disaster like last season where players are looking around and they don't even know where to line up and it's a complete embarrassment to put out on the field under Matt Patricia. I don't think it's going to be that. But I also think it's fair to question, hey, the corners are young. You have some uncertainty on the defensive line. You don't really know what you have at linebacker, or you know what is the ceiling for this group. So I think they can be good. I've got them right around kind of the mediocre range when I look at the talent and the uncertainty. But yeah, I think your question is a fair one, that he's not a miracle worker. It still matters who your talent is.
All right, Shiel. Final thing here. It's always fun to wrap on a little Dallas rip. So they've gone from 10.5 to 9.5 for win total over under. Are they just not as good as they were the last couple of years? They obviously weren't good enough. They didn't do anything in the playoffs, but they were a pretty damn good regular season team. Have they taken a true step backwards?
Yeah, you know, they've had 36 wins the last three seasons. That's the most in the NFC in the regular season. That's more than any team except for the Chiefs. But they have mismanaged their roster at an alarming level. I mean, you look at it right now, they're probably going to start two rookies on the offensive line. They've got Zeke Elliott as their running back now. You know, they don't have CeeDee Lamb in camp, and behind him, they've got nothing at wide receiver. I mean, we're talking about wide receiver three. Their wide receiver depth chart is terrible. And so you look at it, and I don't think they're going to be like a horrible team. You know, I think they're, when you have Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and I do like Mike Zimmer as their defensive coordinator, but I've got them missing the playoffs, but barely. So like a 9-8-ish type team where they're going to have some major decisions in the offseason. Hmm. So yeah, I do have them taking a step back.
All right, Shield, wonderful having you on the show. We'll talk to you all season long. Thanks so much, man. Everyone follow Shield's work at The Ringer. It's just top shelf. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
Elliot, true or false? The Eagles have three running backs better than Ezekiel Elliott at this time of his career.
I mean, they might have four. I mean, they definitely have three for sure. Ezekiel Elliott is cooked.
I mean, I thought he was cooked 2 years ago.
Is Kenny Gainwell really better than Zeke Elliott?
I think so, Jay.
I don't know. Zeke was okay in New England last year. Like, he, towards the end of the year,
he's stunk.
Look at the numbers, man. Like, he had a pretty decent guy. I had him on my fantasy team at the end of the year, and he was okay.
Yeah, I'm skeptical.
Shiel said something interesting there, and it reminds me of something I read yesterday. So ESPN ranked the coaching staffs around the league, and they had the Eagles as 16th. And I think when we talk about this team, we sometimes view the coordinators like the magic elixir that's going to fix everything. Because a lot of the talent on offense was here last year. They had A.J., Devontae, Jalen. They had that offensive line. They didn't have Saquon, but they also lost Kelsey.
They had Swift, too.
It's Swift, yeah. So I do wonder if we're overrating the impact these coordinators are going to make. I think they're both better coordinators than they had last year. But hearing Shield talk about Fangio, seeing the Eagles rank 16th, I mean, that's, you know, right in the middle of the league.
Yeah.
It was just alarming to me.
All right, look, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on the Eagles. Obviously a lot with the Phils as well after the terrible, you know, not terrible, but not good series in Atlanta. All right, Devin, Elliot said earlier the Phils have lost the magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have they?
They don't feel magical right now, but I also apply the term magic, especially as it pertains to the Phillies, to the postseason. And I think we saw them lose their magic two postseasons in a row.
At the end.
At the very end.
Yeah.
I was at game six of the NLCS last season, and I remember walking into the ballpark, and look, Red October, Citizens Bank Park is like my favorite place ever. I love it. It's my favorite thing in sports. And you could just tell the second Aaron Nola took the mound, it was a weird, vibeless place, which is very rare, as we know, for Red October.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like that now. You know, Drew from Westchester was saying he's usually locked in on the games. Last night he was kind of like laying around. I feel the same way. I'm not enjoying myself watching the Phillies like I was earlier in the season. I don't think I'm going to go as far to say that they lost the magic, because I think that they can still get it back. But right now, they are a completely deflated team.
So I agree they could get it back, but that does mean they've lost it. Like, it is hard to capture what the Phillies have had.
I got to tell you, in a court of law, that was a pretty good point there, Elliot.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know what? You pulled a Johnny Cochran.
Did you forget he whooped your ass in a debate like a month ago?
Yeah, you saw that. But I just think it's just hard to capture what the Phillies had this past year and a half. And I actually think, Joe, you're use the word innocence is so true.
What I think they lost.
Yeah.
I think they lost.
But what do you mean by that?
Innocence means the town looks at them differently. So,
yeah.
We're judging them more harshly.
Well, not even more harshly. We should be judging them more harshly. It means we view them through a different prism. So here's what I'd say. I've seen this, you know, probably at this point in my life 10 times in Philadelphia sports. I saw it with the buddy group 88, 89, 90. You're on the way up. But at a certain point, it's like, but you're not delivering enough. And now we view it differently. I saw it with the Lindros group. You're in the playoffs a couple years in a row. I think we've seen it with the Joel group. We've seen it with groups that ultimately won a championship, but at a certain point, it was getting shaky whether they would. Doc Sixers, Schmitty's Phillies. Now, this predates me, obviously, back into the 70s when those two groups launched. But, you know, you have your time. I mean, Andy Reid's Donovan and Doc Eagles. You know, like, I would say when the Eagles lost to the Bucks, they lost their innocence because we viewed them. Talking O2.
We viewed them.
We never quite viewed them the same. Like they were always on the way up until that game, and then they weren't. Now, 2 years later, was their best team of that group. But we had seen so many times that they lost in a big game that it set in motion a certain fatalism.
Well, we're holding them to a higher standard.
Well, two things. One, I agree we're holding them to a higher standard. But two, Devin, what you described watching the game, what you described watching the game, and I agree. I don't feel great right now when it's 3-2 in the ninth that they're going to come back because I haven't seen them do it in a while. So there's a fatalism that has set in. I don't think they've lost the magic big picture because I need to see this October to declare that. But something's different. There's no doubt about that.
I think, too, what you guys are saying in a roundabout way is we just don't believe in them the same way. Like with the early 2000s Eagles, when they were on the come up, it was, you know, Andy, Donovan, this team is untouchable. They're great. They're going to win a Super Bowl. And then you fail once or twice in a big moment, and slowly people start to think, okay, maybe you don't have it.
Yeah.
I think with the Phillies over the past 2 years, a talking point or a feeling was, well, they're clutch, so they'll just make it happen.
Right.
Like
right.
Bryce is clutch. They'll get – that hasn't happened over these past few months. And when you combine that with game six and seven last year, I just don't think they have that magical belief that we
have in them. Yeah, go ahead, Donald.
I do worry that they have that. I don't want the Phillies to have that same mindset because, Elliot, you mentioned games six and seven last season. I think that was an issue. I feel like they, including Rob Thomson, maybe thought that the magic was going to continue and kick in, and then the magic kind of ran out. And as a team, you can't just rely on that. So I'm hopeful that, you know, they can get back, especially in time for the postseason. But I hope that they are not relying on that. Like, oh, we'll just get the vibes back.
All right, 215-592-9494 on both these topics. The two different teams, different points of their season, obviously, but both at interesting junctures. Eagles about to launch. Mark, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Hey, I'd like to lead off by saying that was a wonderful tribute to Hugh Douglas with the Beat the Hammer.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark, for complimenting me for coming up with the category for today.
I'd also like to thank the Hall of Famer Bill Parcells, who did an awful lot right in his career, and it's why he's a Hall of Famer. But man, he bungled it with Hugh. I mean, he gave the Eagles shoot. He just gave them away to the Eagles.
He did. That was an impressive performance. It wasn't an impressive win. It was an impressive performance. I do dispute one of your answers, though. Just like
Detmer?
A couple years ago when you, yes, yeah.
That was just good gameplay there.
Yeah, right. I don't want to take up time on Beat the Hammer, but good job, buddy.
Thank you.
One thing I've heard some naysayers about Barkley and about Dotson regarding Eagles. I think what people weren't considering is that. I think they're both going to flourish this year because neither one of them have played with the amount of talent they're going to have around them this year.
Clearly. That's right.
I agree with that. I do think, though, one thing we need to consider is if we're going to be concerned about the offensive line, then you do also have to adjust expectations for Saquon. I mean, the whole point is he's never played behind an offensive line this good, which is probably true, but it might not end up being a good offensive line directly up the middle.
Well, it might not be. Yeah. And Mark, my other thing on Saquon, and I know Rich, you always swats this aside when I say it, but I'm going to say it again. You know, year seven. I mean, you know, there's been injuries and there's been wear and tear. So let's see how much is left. I'm not saying he's near the end, like right up against it, but I would imagine his days of his greatest athletic brilliance are probably behind him. I mean, how many running backs are better in year seven than year two?
Like almost none.
There's other ways you can utilize
Ezekiel Elliott.
Like Frank Gore, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But it's a small list. I mean, whatever it is, it's a small. I mean, John Riggins was freaking phenomenal in the early 80s with Washington, and he was old. But I mean,
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry kept it going for a long time.
He's still pretty good. Yeah.
Emmett kept it going for a long time, obviously, until he got to 18,000 yards. All right, Mark, give me a great answer here for what had a moment.
I can't win. I'll just give an answer for fun. I'll say the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, it did. So that would probably be back in the 70s also.
Yeah.
No, that's 70s.
I don't think that's a moment.
No, but it's
not there for it. It was a moment.
Guys,
you just didn't live it.
Wow,
it's not as big, but the Rubik's Cube had a moment.
We weren't there for it.
You weren't?
Yeah.
You weren't. None of us were.
It's like
but
the
it was
hula
a big
hoop.
Deal when
hula
exactly,
hoop in the
Joe.
50s.
Exactly.
It but still I think exists, it's still a big deal.
No,
is my point.
Elliot.
It's a way bigger deal
Elliot.
Than like Pokemon,
Elliot.
Beanie Babies.
What? Pokemon Elliot. Is a way bigger deal than the Rubik's Cube.
Are you kidding? Dude,
Pokemon?
There's like still national competitions every year for the Rubik's Cube.
Well, they're all dorks.
Yeah.
It used to be,
as opposed to
the
Beanie Baby collectors.
No, but in the 70s. The non-dorks would do the Rubik's.
Exactly.
You I became, was a Beanie Baby collector. We all were. Were we not? I
no, didn't my brother
Seltzer,
was.
Seltzer, how about Cabbage Patch Kids? Were you?
Oh,
were
that was a great one. They had the, one even had the cards. Yeah. Remember the Cabbage Patch yeah. cards, yeah. too?
All right, yeah. let's go to Justin calling us from Tennessee. What's up, Justin?
What's happening, ladies and fellas? How are
hey,
we
buddy.
Doing this morning?
Always
what up, feller?
Always good hearing from you.
Hey, man. ESPN there holding it down for John Ritchie. I figured it's kind of like a Go Birds Friday with James back at the video, so I got,
just one
I got
football guy for another.
Yeah, I got to call in and show some love for my boys real quick. On this thing with the Eagles depth chart, how many corners do you think they're going to keep, Elliot, and who would be the odd man out? Because we keep hearing Eli Ricks could possibly be
yeah.
a trade candidate, but, I mean, daggone, they're deep in that corner position.
So I think it depends how you view Avante, if he's a safety or a corner, but they're definitely going to keep Slay, Quinion, Cooper DeJean. They'll keep Keeley. They'll keep Isaiah Rogers. And after that, depends if you include Avante. But Josh Job is somebody I would keep an eye on. He is a key special teams player for them. So he's a potential player he could keep there. So, yeah, they're gonna go deep at corner. But I think they should. They have a lot of young, intriguing corners. I'd rather keep Eli Ricks than some random, you know, seventh linebacker like Oren Burks. I think there are players worthy of roster spots at corner.
Justin, I still wonder, though, if they will trade one of them.
That's,
you know, Howie calls one of his guys around the leagues and says, look, I got an extra corner. You got an extra edge rusher.
Fine.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I wonder. And it's going to come sooner rather than later. I was not expecting the trade yesterday for Johan Dotson, but something I told James, it kind of gave me flashbacks when B. Mitch was talking to Ike and Spike and Jack yesterday.
Yep, yep.
Like kind of saying, well, he doesn't really like competing and stuff. It gave me nightmare flashbacks to when, was it you guys that interviewed the TCU coach?
It was.
Sure was, man. Dude, that's a very interesting comp. For those that don't know, right after Rager was it after his draft?
It was right
before?
After he was drafted.
Okay, so right after yeah. Rager was drafted.
So he had already been, he wasn't, you know, he was yep. already drafted.
Yeah. We had
he
his college coach,
Gary
TCU
Patterson.
Coach on, Gary Patterson, and he was not complimentary to Jalen Rager.
To the
and
point where we
so
were all
rare.
Looking at each other while he was answering questions, being like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
Like, it was strange.
Yep.
It was a no sale from that coach, boys.
That's right.
Real quick, one more thing before I give my answer. When I heard the beat the hammer topic today was Hugh Douglas, I knew it was going to be a bad day for whoever it was going against you, Joe. It was almost like, do you know Hugh? And you're like, Hugh damn right.
All right, Justin, give me an answer. What had a moment?
I'm going to go with a movie. Blair Witch Project had a moment.
It did.
Great answer.
I think that is a good answer. Yeah, there's a lot of movies that could be said, and that's one of them. You know, in part, what defines that as a movie with a moment, nobody watches it anymore. I mean,
yeah.
There's other movies you go back and watch 5, 10, 30
times. It's
not
times. A rewatchable movie.
I mean, clearly not.
Yeah,
no one does
no,
it.
I agree. Yeah,
no
that,
one does it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.